In the beginning, God made humans in God's own image and likeness. He made them gods. He made them immortal. Death doesn't enter into the picture until sin. So in the scriptures, sin and death are always interconnected. The reason we humans die is because of sin. If humans had never sinned, we would have always been immortal. And throughout salvation history, various prophets and teachers and kings and judges tried to lead the people into sinlessness, but, you know, on a human level, it just wasn't possible. But God had always determined that he was going to send his Son to reveal to us what humanity's potential really is, to reveal to us our true human nature, which is a sharing in divine life. A nature that is not struck down by sin and not condemned to death, but is immortal. And so Jesus enters into our human condition, takes on our human flesh, becomes a human in every way, but he's also divine. And he is sinless. He shows us what it looks like to be free of sin and therefore free of death. So when he succumbs to death by his crucifixion, death can't hold him. Death has no real power over him because he is sinless, and death doesn't enter into the picture without sin. And so he rises from the dead and invites us into a share in his resurrection. And so when we celebrate this 90-day Paschal season, which is the Passover from death to life of our Savior, Jesus Christ, but it's also our involvement in that. And so in the Christian era, between the first and final comings of Christ, we are, through the power of his Spirit breathed on us in our baptism and in our confirmation, we are sharers in his divine life, sharers in his resurrection. But we have to pass through death. We have to learn what he always knew as the second person of the Blessed Trinity, that real life, real love is dying to self. It's giving of oneself completely all the way to death, absolutely no reservations, the complete gift of self. And in the Trinity, that's what's happening, what's always happened from the beginning, forever. That the Son is laying his life down for the other two without completely, and the Spirit and the Father are doing the same thing. So the complete self-gift and the reception of the gift of the other two is simultaneously happening forever. And if we are going to enter into that mysterious, infinite love, then we have to let go of ourselves. Sin has been defined as self-concern. Adam and Eve had everything they needed. Everything was gift. Everything was in complete harmony. They were in harmony with all of creation and with each other. But then they began to worry about themselves. And they grabbed at that fruit that was the temptation to self, to divide themselves from God. They who were one with God divided themselves. They created disunity in God's creation for the first time. And it was about this excessive obsession of self. Jesus is the selfless one. He never had a concern for his own life. He never concerned himself with his own will, but it was always about the will of the Father. He always worried about you and me instead of himself. There is no self-concern in Jesus because there is no sin, and sin and self-concern are synonymous. So in our Christian lives, we celebrate that all the time. Every time we enter into a Catholic church, you know, the font is there at the doors, and doors are symbolic of baptism because they're entrance in. entrance into the kingdom, entrance into the family of God, entrance into the church, entrance into salvation. But that entrance is through a dying. The font is a baptism in a symbolic drowning. It's dying to the old person that was there and obsessed with self, and it's rising to selflessness. And the only way to get to the altar, which is symbolic of the heavenly banquet, the meal of the kingdom realized, the only way to get to here is through there. The only way to get to the resurrection is through the cross. And so in our Paschal season, which lasts 90 days, 40 days of Lent and 50 days of Easter, the first part of that we've just completed, and that's the part about dying. And so we died to ourselves. We tried to die to sin. We did almsgiving. We tried to concern ourselves more about the poor of the world than our own self-concerns. We tried to let go of the sinful self, the self that obsesses about possessions, obsesses about our fears. We tried to let go of all that and become more Christ-like in his death. And now we've completed that part of the Paschal season. We're going to spend 50 days celebrating the resurrection. We're going to spend 50 days reflecting on what it means to rise from the dead. We just spent 40 days reflecting on what it means to die. Now we're going to reflect on what it means to live eternally, to be risen from the dead, where death and self-concern have no more power over us. And this is a challenge for us modern Western people, because unlike people in other cultures and in previous ages, we're better about preparing than celebrating. You know, we live in anticipation, and then when the day comes, it's almost a anticlimactic. We start decorating for Christmas at Halloween, you know. And then by the time Christmas comes, the day after Christmas, we're taking down the decorations. We're done with this. We're tired of it. But the church, which hasn't been decorated for Christmas, it's decorated for Advent. And we don't see Christmas decorations here until Christmas Day. And then we celebrate that for 3 weeks while everybody else has already moved on to the next holiday. We're still celebrating Christmas because the church knows how to elongate a celebration. But Easter is even more important than Christmas, so we celebrate it not for 3 weeks, but for 7 weeks. And so we're going to elongate that out. We're going to try to learn once again this year what it means to prolong a celebration, to reflect deeply and drink deeply of the truth of the resurrection, and to immerse ourselves in the Paschal mystery. Because the Paschal mystery, the Passover from death to eternal life of the Son, is not just about him, it's also about you and me. The question we need to ask all through this season is, what does this have to do with me? How am I dying and rising? How is my death powerless over me? How is my resurrection eternal? How is it that to the Spirit I am joined to Christ in his risen life? How is it that I am eternal, that the sin that originally, way back with Adam and Eve, brought death into the world has been eradicated by the death and resurrection of Christ, and so the balance of the scales has been tipped in my favor? Now, no matter how much sin may seem to control my life, no matter how much I have my fears and my obsessions about self, I know that ultimately I'm going to be victorious over this. Because grace is more powerful than sin. Love is more powerful than death.